KMXT in Kodiak. This is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, it's obvious by now that the humpy season is a bust. We've got two stories. Also, fish that was caught accidentally is being put to good use. All on this edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Been a tough year for pink salmon fishermen around the state. Fish Radio's Lainey Welch has more.
Sockeye is the one bright spot in a season that's run low and slow for other salmon.
Boy, given what's happened in the other species, you know, sockeye is really going to have to carry the load in terms of value.
Andy Wink is a fisheries economist with the Juneau-based McDowell Group. Through August 15th, the pace of the Chinook salmon harvest is down 42% versus last year. Cohos are down 20%, and the chum catch is down 25%. For pinks, the catch is down 63% compared to the 2014 even run year, and even the 52 million sockeye catch so far is 3% off last year's pace.
This looks like the worst pink harvest in over 20 years, you know, even given what we think we'll add over the next few weeks. And then as far as the chums go, we're probably looking at the second worst harvest of the last 10.
Fresh and frozen sockeyes are moving well, Wink said, and Japan is buying up lots of smaller sizes. Their currency this year also is more favorable for buying Alaska.
Another major thing is the 20% shift in the yen in our favor this year.
Fresh was the market focus going into the season due to shortfalls in farmed salmon from Chile.
Going into the year and having processors trying to game plan for getting as much out fresh as they could, you know, hopefully that translates to some better overall value.
In terms of fishery value, any gains from sockeyes will be offset by low prices and a no-show of pinks. The statewide catch is at 34 million on a 90 million forecast, with most run peaks now passed. Pink prices to most fishermen are in the 20-cent range. Wink says shortfalls in pink and chum roe could see a price boost from the stronger yen. Watchers now will be tracking how Alaska salmon moves through the global market.
That was Fish Radio's Lainey Welch in Kodiak.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Meanwhile, in Southeast, as KFSK's Abby Collins reports from Petersburg, many fishermen are wrapping up the season early.
The FV Marathon is docked in Petersburg's South Harbor.
We're done.
That's Jesse Agner, a crew member on the boat. Out of the 12 years he's been seining, he says this is one of the worst he's ever seen.
We put the skiff away yesterday, and we're going to get rid of everything else here. In short order.
I meet the Marathon's acting captain, Alan Matteson, on his dad's boat. Normally, at this point in the summer, Matteson and the Marathon crew would probably be out seining for the peak of pink salmon season, but not this year.
Which was really hard for, you know, my father to swallow and a lot of us to swallow because we just, you know, expected to be fishing for 3 more weeks.
Instead, the boat is stationary.
By all metrics and indications, from the female sex ratio to the number of some other districts reporting in, the absolute disaster the North End was, like, it's just not there. There's not waves of fish waiting to come in. It's over.
Matteson has been fishing for 17 years. He loves this particular fishery and being out on the water during summer in Alaska. He calls it Sanecation. The Marathon is not the only seine boat that's back early. Far from it. Several fishermen around the harbor have removed their nets, indicating the season is over. Chris McFadden works on the FV Relentless.
This is very very not unnatural.
McFadden has been fishing since he was around 10 and says this year was one of the worst for seining.
That's for sure. Yeah, usually, like I said, we usually have a couple weeks left of really strong fishing, and to be done this early is just, you know, unheard of.
Soon, he'll move to a new vessel to longline for black cod and halibut. He says a season like this definitely hurts his income.
You hope the next fishery carries on and have all your eggs in one basket. So hopefully in a couple of years we get enough return in the creeks that it's better than this year was.
The preseason forecast for the region was 34 million fish. That's below average, but not actually that bad, historically speaking. And for an even year, it's pretty decent.
There's a disparity over the last couple decades, at least, between the even and odd year runs.
Troy Tinas is an area management biologist for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Petersburg.
Odd years have been a lot larger than the even years.
But the actual returns are nowhere near the forecast. Tinas says the estimated pink salmon harvest so far is around 14 million fish.
We're expecting a harvest right now. It might be upwards of 15 million.
That's less than half of the preseason forecast. Historically, Tina says this year's harvest is on the low end for recent years, but it's still not the lowest when you look at the last decade. Still, this time of the summer should be peak pink season.
It looks like most of the pink salmon runs throughout Southeast came in a week or two earlier than normal, and then weak at that. I shouldn't say weak overall. There were definitely some strong runs that came in, especially south of Petersburg in the Ketchikan management area.
As predicted, runs were generally weaker north of Petersburg and stronger south. Back on the boat, Mathiesen sips his coffee in the galley. He says they knew the northern region would be slow.
No one really expected the North End to be, you know, rock stars this year, but I don't think anyone expected it to be as, like, of a ghost town that it was.
That sent more fishermen like Mathiesen south.
Normally, it would really kind of diversify the fleet a little bit. You'd have maybe half in the north, half in the south. But because there was just no show on the north end, like the entire fleet was concentrated in the south, and that put a lot of pressure on those districts.
Seiners make up the bulk of boats fishing for pink salmon, along with gillnetters. At most, around 240 seiners were out fishing. Longtime fishermen like Mathiesen are just not that worried about the poor season.
They just had, you know, poor recruitment in the ocean. That happens. Like, it's not a big deal, I don't think. That's why you have 10-year averages. That's why you have 25-year averages. It just happens.
The season isn't officially over. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game is continuing to hold limited openings where there are excess fish. And some boats have not given up yet. In Petersburg, I'm Abby Collins.
You're listening to the Alaska Fisheries Report. Hear the show online anytime at kmxt.org.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
A Washington-based nonprofit that takes unintended catch from Alaska trawl fisheries and donates it to all 50 states just completed its fifth mission of flying the fish from Kodiak to Kotzebue. This is also the second year they've transported the donations to Nome as well. Volunteers distribute the boxes comprised of bycatch and incidentally caught fish to nearby communities in order to supplement local diets. Sea Share Executive Director Jim Harmon says he works with processors to gather and prepare the fish, the majority of which come from trawl fisheries in the Bering Sea, Aleutian Island waters, and Gulf of Alaska. KMXT's Kayla DeRoche boarded a Coast Guard HC-130 Hercules in Kodiak, loaded with tons of frozen fish to take along and meet the people facilitating the donations in the Northwest Arctic.
I'm excited. I've been on both ends for the last several years, either in Kodiak or up north, and today I get to go to see the whole thing.
Harmon has been visiting Alaska and Kodiak for years, but this is the first time he's escorted the fish across the state, around 14,000 pounds of it. The crew keeps the plane on the colder side for the flight to Kotzebue. That's because it's full of pallets stacked with frozen halibut, which Harmon says comes in two forms, headed and gutted or steaks.
One of the most efficient ways that we can protect those fish is after we've cleaned them and steaked them, we dip them in water and blast freeze them. That puts a glaze around the fish. They call it glazing them. And glazing them protects the meat from the atmosphere.
A group of volunteers from the Manilik Association are waiting in Kotzebue when the plane lands. The Coast Guard crew unloads the fish. Volunteers are there to help sort the boxes and deliver them to the different villages.
You can take a couple of those and we'll do steaks.
Okay. Bernice Foster is one of the volunteers today. She was born and raised in Kotzebue, and it's her third year helping out. She says the halibut goes to elders.
It helps fill their freezers, and then, you know, it's kind of a tradition here where the people do give the elders fish from out in the ocean. They'll deliver to homes. And they enjoy that.
She says people are also happy to get a different kind of fish to supplement their diets, as halibut is not commonly fished in the area, unlike chum salmon or sheafish. From Kotzebue, the fish are headed out to all the villages in the Manilik region. For Harmon and the rest of the halibut, the next stop is Nome, where the vice president of community services for the regional nonprofit corporation Kowarik is waiting. Carol Piscoya says this year the fish are going to six villages instead of four.
Diomede, Wales, Savunga, Stebbins, St. Michael, and Koyuk.
The need arose last year due to retreating sea ice, which reduced walrus and seal harvest. And Piscoya says this year the ice conditions are a little better, but still not great.
They're still talking about the lack of ice to supplement their walrus and seal hunting. We see it as something that's going to always might be an issue, the lack of sea ice for hunting.
Piscoya says while the area has some commercial fishing, that catch goes out the door for sale. She says the Kowarik Board, which is made up of members from the tribes of the region, developed a resolution a few years ago opposing bycatch.
Because of all the fish that we're losing, coming up from here by the commercial fisheries. So because of that, we're kind of hesitant to accept, which this is called bycatch fisheries. And last year there was a great need because their folks in the villages didn't have the food in the freezers to supplement and to get through the winter. So Coast Guard came up with this and Jim came up with this, and they were willing to take it.
She says they left it up to the communities to decide.
It's really, really, really been helpful. We appreciate it. The people appreciate it. The people want it. But, you know, it's definitely an issue.
Harmon says processors are trying their best to minimize bycatch, but when fishermen do pull in the unavoidable, it's better to direct it to a good cause rather than discard it. He says the program owes a lot to the various partners involved, from the Coast Guard to the volunteers who show up to sort and deliver the packages. I'm Kayla Daroche.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by AK Teach, now enrolling K-12 homeschool students throughout the state of Alaska, creating partnerships that are flexible, family-friendly, and unique to your child. More information is available at AK Teach or at 907-942-0667.
And that's all for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Fish Radio's Eleni Welch in Kodiak, KFSK's Abby Collins in Petersburg, and KMXT's Kayla DeRoche in Kodiak. From there, here, also in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.